To rejoice this morning because we are Americans. And happy birthday, America, 247, I believe, years old. It's a great place to be. I'm so glad you're here this morning. We're going to have a good service. We've got a lot of good stuff. The choir and Brother David had a lot of good stuff put together for us, and I hopefully have a good message for you as when we go into the preaching time. And so right now, time is short because we got a lot going on, so let's go ahead and just ask God's blessing and then get started. Welcome to any visitors that are here. We're glad you chose Bible Baptist this morning. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Brother Ray, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Each and every day, Americans wake to the breath in the air of a nation that affords us all the opportunity to pursue every dream, no matter how great or how impossible. Our forefathers fought to ensure that each of us can go about our days without the shackles of oppression or the chains of tyranny. Let us be resolved, now more than ever, to honor the bravery and the determination of those soldiers whose actions purchased and maintained these liberties that we so enjoy. On battlefields of foreign lands, young men and women risk their lives to keep our homeland safe. Often, these soldiers, barely old enough to be called adults, push through their fear and find a boldness and a bravery deep inside them, bolstered by their love for family and friends back home. If you have served in our armed forces, let us take this moment to honor you. We are indeed free because you were, oh, so brave.
Thank you.
the very first wars where we fought and won our freedom, to the current wars where our sons and daughters and brothers and sisters are currently fighting. We've watched our freedom being tested again and again, and yet the resolve of the American people stays intact. As centuries and decades pass, our world is changing around us in unbelievable ways. Laura Ingalls Wilder once said of progress, "Everything has changed too fast. Railroads and telegraphs and coal stoves, they're good to have, but the problem is folks get to depend on them. My, oh my, how times have changed." And as these things keep changing, we will keep America strong by holding on to the same values and beliefs that have brought us safe thus far. As believers and followers of Christ, we know that the strength of the nation comes not from ourselves, but from the God who has given us His blessings. We are only as strong as our faith and our commitment to a kingdom that lives beyond the borders of our nation. So as believers, we pray a covering over our nation. We pray for guidance and protection. We pray for wisdom and discernment. We pray that as our light as Christians will shine over our nation and our leaders with the hope and the faith that they have. This is our prayer.
Themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves,
I
my people will pray. Yes, we've heard that short phrase over and over again. But what if? What if we really live this out in practice? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It's more than just a theory or a nice thought. It's the word of God spoken to us. America is made up of all kinds of people. People of all shapes and sizes, all colors and ethnicities and ideologies. Disagreements are sure to happen, but what if? What if, instead of taking to social media to attack one another? What if, instead of voting against each other? What if, instead of rallying to magnify and emphasize our differences, we do exactly that which the Word of God instructs us to do to one another? What if we pray?
Thank you.
as citizens of this great land, let us commit ourselves to the good of all mankind. Let us remember that the high price that was paid for liberty is a priceless heirloom to be cherished and passed down to future generations. Let us be diligent in our resolve to make the world a better place, to shine the light of kindness and brotherhood to all the world. Let us understand the precious gift of the diversity in our land, and most of all, let us be thankful that we can call America our home.
Thank you guys so much. That was well done. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the time you've given us this morning. We thank you, God, for already being able to just lift our hearts up to you, Lord, and lift our country up to you, Lord, and just exactly as the scripture they quoted says, Lord, if we just humble ourselves and pray. Father, we don't do it enough. As Christians, we don't do it enough. Certainly as a nation, we don't do it enough. So, Lord, we lift our hearts to you right now, and we do pray, and we humble ourselves before you. We ask, God, that you would speak to our hearts through your word today, that you would teach us, that you would challenge us, that you would help us not just be better individuals, Father, but help us to be better citizens of this great country. Thank you, Lord God, for the red, white, and blue. We thank you for the freedom that we have just to even say this prayer publicly right now is a freedom that's been fought for. We thank you for all those who have gone and into foreign soil and fought for freedom all these years and those who are there now. And we pray that you'll bless and protect our soldiers, our men and women that are, who are representing us in the various parts of the world today, and keep them safe. Father, for the next few moments, bless now, and we'll give thanks for it. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. I don't trust them, Mama. Here, will you take this one? All right. And I misspoke earlier. I said that America was 147 years old. Actually, that Jerry Copeland, I meant America's 247 years old. And so, happy birthday, America. 1 Samuel chapter 2, I think something we would all agree on this morning is the fact that God has blessed America, and I wouldn't want to live in any other place. I know you probably feel the same way. Those that have traveled the world, I'm sure, have enjoyed the various places that they've lived, and I know many people that have told me about some of those places, but there's nothing like the United States of America to call home, and God has blessed us. We're not as great a nation as we once were. I think you'll agree with that, and for the time being, though, we're still free. And we're still prosperous. And it's a place where we can still serve the Lord. We can still gather here this morning for worship. And from the time that the pilgrims first landed on American soil to the day that we declared our independence to this very moment, we have seen the hand of God upon this country. And there's no denying that He has chosen to give us His supernatural favor. And the question is why? We have to ask the question, why would God place one nation above another? Why would He have one particular group of people that He says, I am going to bless more, I'm going to protect you more? And we're going to let Scripture answer that question in just a few moments. But until then, I want you to understand, before we read this text, that the principle that we're going to read that God lays down in this verse is applicable to individuals, to nations, to families, to churches, to businesses. It applies to all people if we will apply this. I have seen it too many times. I have experienced it too many times. It will become true to our lives. Okay, so if you want to know what that change, what that truth is that will change your life, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And we're going to look at verse 30. We're going to go to the second half of the verse, if you will. The first half of the verse is dealing with God's rebuke of the priest Eli. And we're not going to take in that story. Actually, we looked at that story a few short weeks ago on Father's Day. But in the middle of the verse, in the middle of that rebuke that God gives to Eli, He declares this principle. And it's a universal principle. It applies to everyone. Every person who meets the condition of this promise will experience the results of this promise, okay? And we'll read it beginning in with the words, them, in the latter part of the verse, them that honor me, I will honor, God says. They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Now, I want you to notice those two pronouns there, them and they. Both of them cover a lot of territory. They are very broad. They don't specify or target any particular individual, any particular group or category of people. It really takes in everyone. Anyone can be either honored by God or lightly esteemed by God, depending upon their choice, depending upon whether we either honor God or choose to not honor Him, in which case he says that's despising Him. Okay, so let's hit the rewind button for just a moment and go all the way back to the beginnings of this great nation. There was a time when God was at the very center of most everything America did. I'm not implying that everybody was saved at that time. I'm not saying that they were all born-again Christians or that they all believed in God. But in a general sense, the God of the Bible and Judeo-Christian values were recognized and accepted in this country, in the home, in the schoolhouse, in government, in our institutions, in our public events. Public prayers were the norm. The Ten Commandments were known by all. They were taught in school. The Bible was the standard for values and for truth. You could see God in the everyday life of America because we were honoring God in our country. And that comes with a promise. The promise is this: them that honor me, I will honor. That comes from God. God doesn't lie. He gives a promise. He keeps a promise. And so what was the result of America honoring God? Well, His fingerprints were everywhere. His hand of blessing was on everything that America touched. For the first couple of centuries after the birth of our nation, that held true. God's blessings were everywhere. But for the past 50 years or so, give or take, we have systematically chipped away at that godly foundation. We've pulled away from it. And it's been a very gradual deterioration, but it was a deterioration nonetheless. And erosion is something that we have to understand. Erosion is a slow process. And it's that being slow that contributes to the destructive effects of it, because it's so gradual, erosion is, that it's not noticed. And it's not addressed. And then it's not corrected. And so then it's able to run its course unimpeded, and the damage is very thorough. That's what we've seen happen. You see, just chip away, just a little bit here, a little bit there, just a little bit that goes unnoticed. And over the last half century, that's what we've seen happen in our nation. And when our godly foundation begins to crumble, then the whole structure begins to fall apart. You start seeing cracks. You start seeing things go to pieces. And friends, that's what we see happening in our country today. I'm not going to spend our time this morning, and I will be brief, okay? I'm not going to spend our time this morning bemoaning all the details of our current condition, because it's really evident for all to see. We all see it. We all know it. Rather, I would prefer to just focus on this undeniable principle that's found in this verse, and how it can be applied to our individual lives and to our lives as citizens of the United States. This verse gives two options. We can either honor God or not honor Him, okay? It says, them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How do we honor God? We honor God by loving and embracing the things that are dear to Him. That will honor Him, okay? Moms, dad, how do your children honor you? When they love, appreciate, and respect the things that you love and appreciate. That's how they honor. That's we as God's children. When we love the things God loves, we're honoring Him. We can honor God by loving His Word. The Bible is God's love letter to you and I. He wrote it to us, about Him and about us, telling us how we can walk with Him. The whole book is to you and I a letter of love. Yet America has systematically disobeyed and ignored the Word of God in the last half century. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. If we really love the Lord, and we want to honor Him, we'll obey His word. We'll listen to His word. We'll read His word. We'll open our Bibles and apply those truths to our life. Secondly, we can honor God by honoring His church. Ephesians 5:25 says, Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. There was a time that Sunday, here in America, was recognized as the Lord's Day. There was a time in our country that Sunday was understood to be the day of worship. The day that many people went to church. Not everybody, but everybody respected it, okay? Few things were scheduled in years past. Few things would be scheduled on Sundays so as to allow people to be in their houses of worship across the land. Even Wednesday, friends, used to be preserved and left alone in the evening so people could be in church. The church was seen as something that was important to the nation, and it was honored by these considerations. How many of you, I know some of the people my age and older remember this, the blue laws, all the blue laws that used to be in effect. They were restrictions. Certain restrictions of certain practices on Sunday. Most businesses were closed on Sunday. Alcohol was not to be sold on the Lord's Day. And again, just about 50 years ago in the 70s is when those laws began to be taken away and removed. Now, America no longer, not only do we not honor church and we do not honor Sunday, but in fact, Sunday is more of a designated drinking day than anything else. You ask anybody that has a number of employees in their work, they'll tell you. They say people get old up on Sunday and they call in sick Monday morning. It's a big problem with business all over. What do they call it? The Monday flu or something like that? Something along those lines. God loves His church. And when you and I love God and want to honor God, we'll love His church. It'll be important to us and it'll bring blessings on our life if we honor His church. Thirdly, we must honor God by honoring the family. A lot of people don't understand this. Christians, many Christians don't even. God ordained the family. There are three institutions that God ordained for the betterment of mankind, and that was government, family, and the church. You see, God ordained those three. He invented government, folks. He invented the church. He invented the family, and God doesn't define the things that He invents loosely. And He didn't define family loosely. He designed it, ordained it, and approved it to be a man and a woman, not living together, but married, and bearing children that would be raised up in the Lord. And what we see today in our nation is not only the neglect of that traditional family, but an attempt to destroy the God-ordained family. Legislation after legislation, law after law, court decision has attacked and dismantled the traditional family. Same-sex marriage, gay rights, transgender rights have torn at the fiber of American homes, essentially redefining what family is. The LGBTQ, they keep adding letters. Every time you find another perverse group, they'll add a letter. Okay? I call them the alphabet mafia. They're trying to take over. They're coming after your children and my children. They're coming after my grandchildren. Folks, they don't want to just do their thing. They're coming after it. I'm here to tell you, Christian, we better honor God by honoring our families. I'm not hating this morning, folks. Anybody that knows me knows that I compassionately and kindly deal with all people. If a person is a homosexual person, I will deal with them just as kindly as I will anybody else, okay? But I stand with God on the nature of that lifestyle. God says it's sin. He says it's sin. I didn't make up those rules. It can be forgiven just like any other sin. And by the way, illicit heterosexual activity is sin as well. Okay? Very much so. There's no denying that. We have to refuse to be dumbed down spiritually by a world that applauds sexual deviance and perversion. Pornography is poisoning the homes of Americans. Adultery is tearing families apart. God loves His family, and God defines that family as being a certain thing, a man and a woman in marriage. And we better do everything within our power to hold true to that definition, because Christians, we will answer one day if we don't. Folks, abortion is another very, very, very dirty deed America has done to God's traditional family. Again, almost exactly 50 years, 1973 it was, with the decision of Roe versus Wade, there have been 63 million unborn children killed in that 50-year period. Friends, that's almost 20% of America's population today. Their lives taken. Thank God for the Supreme Court of the United States that's overturned that decision last year. And I'm thankful for many things that they're doing, by the way. If we want to honor God, we better honor the family. Last of all, if we want to honor God as an individual and we want to honor Him as a nation, we have to honor righteousness. The Bible says in Psalms 19, verse 9, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Psalms 119, 137 says, righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 2 says this, true and righteous are His judgments. You know, I don't make the rules. You don't make the rules. Government doesn't make the rules. The Supreme Court doesn't make the rules. God makes the rules. And so if God says something's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care whether it's acceptable to society or not. If God says it's wrong, God doesn't change over the times. He doesn't adjust. He doesn't adapt. He doesn't evolve. He's God the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He says in Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8, He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. But as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways. You know what God's saying there? My standard is higher than your standard. So if you think it's right, it might not be right. My standard is up here, God says. And yours may be down here. Well, guess which one you better choose? You better go with God's. Because it is the standard. And the Bible says in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way that seemeth right unto man. There's a way that you and I might think's okay. But it says the end thereof are the ways of death. We must learn to accept what God has determined to be righteous and reject and get completely away from anything God calls sin. And in that way, we're honoring Him. And friends, we cannot, in these areas of our life, the family and the church, the Word of God, the righteousness of God, we cannot just pick and choose the areas of our life that we want to honor Him in. You see, it has to be in our homes, it has to be in our churches, but it also has to be in our entertainment. It has to be in our hobbies. It has to be in our workplace. What you believe this morning and say amen to in the house of God has to be what you take to work with you tomorrow. and honor and say amen in the workplace. You see, but sometimes we're duplicitous. Sometimes we say we believe that, and deep down we truly believe that, but we weaken and we vacillate when we go home and we turn the TV on and something's on that we really probably shouldn't be a part of, or when we indulge in a conversation with someone that we really shouldn't be a part of. And really, we need to ask ourselves, what do I truly believe? What is my conviction? We can't pick and choose. I'm going to bring this thing into the parking spot. If you want your life, and you want, if we want America to continue to have the hand of blessings from God Almighty, then we must learn to honor Him in all things. And I want you to notice what the alternative is, and then we'll be closing. It says, them that honor me, I will honor. There's your promise. There's a condition. You honor me, I'm going to honor you. God promises it. God doesn't lie. But watch this other part. Here's the other condition. They that despise me. God says, if you despise me, then I'll lightly esteem you. You know what that means? It first of all says they, that anybody, any group, any individual, any government, any nation, any home, any business, any church chooses to despise God. Now, what does it mean to despise God? Simply means to fail to think of Him as important. He says, you do that, and I'm going to lightly esteem you. What does that mean to be lightly esteemed? It just simply means God will hold us in contempt. I don't know about you, but I like to think that I have God's favor upon my life. I like to know that I have God's favor upon my life. It's a good feeling. It's a really good feeling when you're facing life and everything's unraveling and going to pieces, and you say, well, I've got God's favor. He's going to take me through this. But it's a horrible feeling to know that you don't have God's favor. To consider the idea that He might hold you in contempt. Lightly esteem you. That's a horrible feeling. Especially when life begins to unravel and fall apart. Friends, this principle, this promise is conditional. We got two choices. Either we honor Him or we don't honor Him. And it'll be two completely different results. You know the results you want. I know the results I want. I know the results I want for this great nation. We better honor God. I'm going to ask you to stand. You're here this morning and God's spoken to your heart for any reason. It's not been a salvation message. We've not even presented Christ this morning. But this is also a place and a time. If any person here wants to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ, it's certainly an opportunity that you'll have. God's spoken to your heart for anything and you want to come to this altar, please come.